Hi, this is Jerome Gilmartin, JMJ Catholic Radio, bringing local and EWTN Catholic programming to northeastern and central Pennsylvania. Welcome to the In the Father's Hands program with host Mary Kate Grady. Mary Kate is pleased today to again have as her guest Jerry Featherby. After decades of silence regarding her abortion, Jerry began a reconversion to her faith, St. Paul style, 16 years ago. This led to a weekend retreat at Rachel's Vineyard. Jerry has returned to Rachel's Vineyard for over 14 years as a facilitator to journey with other men and women who grieve for the loss of their children. Now that she is recently retired, God has opened doors for her testimony and awareness talk titled, Everyone Knows Someone. Jerry shares this talk so others can experience the mercy of God and the fullness of His peace so they too can start a journey of restoration and renewal. Mary Kate?
Thank you so much, Jerry. It's so good to be back with you all again today, and we're excited to have Jerry Featherby join us again. We really enjoyed having her on our last program and so happy to continue that conversation. I think it's so important, I don't know how you feel about this, to know what the voice of the Lord is in order for us to know how to interact with our brothers and sisters in this situation, you know?
Yeah, I totally agree, Mary Kate. If we don't, right, we can't help them. We can't help them lead to a journey of love and healing.
And I think, like, in recognizing His voice, then we know how to talk to other people, right? Because, you know, a lot of times I think we're always trying to, like, figure God out or get to know Him. And then we start to learn over time, Jerry. I don't know how you feel about this. It's taken me a while, but to start to recognize what God's voice is, right? So, like, the evil one is such a condemning voice. It never brings hope, you know? It says in the scripture, when talking about the devil, that it says the accuser of our brothers was cast out, is accusing us night and day before the throne of God, right? So he's an accuser. And so I know when we're struggling to listen to God's voice, you know, you start picking up these things like, wait a minute, that's not God's voice. He doesn't speak that way to me, you know? And so then I think in recognizing His voice, that's like key to this whole thing about, and we're going to go into this a little bit later in the program, but it just caught my attention. I just wanted to share it about how I think when we learn to listen to God's voice, then like we really learn how to minister to other people.
Yes, yes, yes. You know, the Pope John Paul offered Evangelium Vitae, his gospel of life, specific words to women. Did you? It's just incredible, you know, way back then, how he knew that those who were who experienced an abortion were hurting in silence. He says he understands that there were so many factors that influenced that decision. Right? It wasn't as though the person, you know, said, found out they were pregnant, and then they said, okay, flippantly, they thought, well, I'll just have an abortion, and that will solve my problem. You know, there's a lot of heartache that goes into that when it's unexpected.
Right? Sure.
It's an unexpected pregnancy. So society is throwing stuff on them, and parents are throwing stuff on them. Their spouse or their boyfriends are throwing stuff on them. So the woman is left, like, holding this bag of, you know, I know that what I'm about to do is wrong, but I have to do it. So they don't really feel as though they have a choice. But the Holy Father, in this passage, he understands that so many factors influence that decision. So this is what he says. Not only the mother, but there are often other people, too, who decide upon the death of the child in the womb. In the first place, the father of the child may be to blame, not only when he directly pressures the woman to have an abortion, but when he indirectly encourages her that such a decision on her part by leaving her alone to face the problem of pregnancy. Nor can one overlook the pressure which sometimes comes from a wider family circle and from friends. Sometimes the woman is subjected to such strong pressure, she feels psychologically forced to have an abortion. Certainly in this case, the moral responsibility lies particularly with those who have directly or indirectly obliged her to have the abortion. Mm-hmm. No, so he recognizes that there are other factors besides the woman. So once, you know, once it occurs, right, then the woman is left to hold the bag silently. And this mm-hmm. is what the ministry that I am working to bring to light changes. You know, it changes prayerfully. It changes the way our community, our listeners, the JMJ listeners, right within church and right within their friendship and their conversations with friends, how they can help to bring others. They can be an impetus to bring other people to healing. They themselves, of course, you know, like a psychologist or like a counselor, are not capable necessarily of offering information, right?
Sure.
Offering mm-hmm. ways in which they can specifically be of help, but they can, and we're all obligated to do this, you know, to offer that compassion, offer that love, offer that support, but then have a, you know, a bag full of ideas and statements that you could share so that you could help bring someone else to healing.
Absolutely. And you know what, Jerry, last time that we were speaking, I'm having you repeat yourself a little bit, but, you know, we spoke a little bit about ministries for post-abortive men and women. And would you mind sharing with us just a little bit again about Rachel's Vineyard Ministry?
Oh, sure. Thanks. So I found Rachel's Vineyard in 2009 after about 8 months previous of recognizing the secret of abortion that I held for 29 years. So it took me about 8 months to get my own healing or to start the journey of my own healing. Mm-hmm. And Rachel's Vineyard is a weekend retreat, and it is offered worldwide. It was created by Teresa Burke, Dr. Teresa Burke.
Okay.
And her husband. And it's a multifaceted program. And it consists of a whole weekend in where a woman can experience the healing for abortion. So, you know, you go on a Friday and you have a circle and a support group, and there's an introduction for how did you get here? And that was always fascinating for me to reflect upon, because I never thought about any of the ways in which my task, my weekend, would be thwarted by the evil one. But it certainly was. You know, there were like crazy things that happened before I tried to go. And certainly when I was there, I wanted to turn around and leave.
Sure.
And I was so scared, you know. But then that particular year, there was a lot of men and women, and that gave me comfort. And so we literally talked about, okay, what brought you to this point? How did you unleash the silence? And here you are.
Right.
And then on Saturday, we spend a whole day with exercises and scripture from the Bible. And at that point, I was not, you know, I heard the gospel every week and the readings every week as a Catholic, because I went to church my whole life on Sundays, but that was it. So these particular scriptures that they pulled and used to help talk about and heal were incredibly inspiring, especially mm-hmm. the woman at the well for me.
Sure.
Because I felt like that woman at the well, you know? And
And
then you go through all those kinds of exercises, and there's a priest available, and then they had just such beautiful ways in which you can personally heal. They encourage you to journal, and they encourage you to write about all the people that were involved, and that's the first time I ever visited that.
Right,
you know,
right.
Who else was involved in helping me get to that place and encouraging it, right? And so, and much of my journal was about my mom, because it was a very difficult and strenuous relationship because of that, even though
sure.
she had no idea. She had no idea that I did this. I just feared her. So, So then on Sunday, you have what's called a resurrection mass. And that is where you experience the joy, because now you've gone to confession and you understood God's forgiveness for yourself, and then you, then you go to the resurrection mass, and you leave there on a beautiful high. Rachel's Vineyard, yeah, is worldwide, and it's amazing. It's so interesting to read from her book, Forbidden Grief, because in her book, the introduction, she talks about how she ended up creating this program as a woman trying to get her PhD. I don't remember if it was from Yale or Harvard, but I remember it was an Ivy League university. And she was challenged by women who, in her group, who were anorexic. Mm. And then she found a common thread of this manifestation of anorexia was from women who experienced abortion. And she brought it to her professor, the gentleman that was leading her, and he clearly said, do not share this again. Do not ask that question and drop that subject. And that's when she knew, okay, something must be a connector between anorexia and a person who's experienced an abortion. So she continued, and from that she grew the ministry. And it has it's helped tens of thousands of women. But
that's beautiful. Yeah.
It is. But you think, okay, tens of thousands of women. But let's take back the total amount of men and women that we know of through surveys or whatever is available. How many people had an abortion? What do we know? What is that the lingo of since 1973, Roe versus Wade? What's that number? Do you know that number, Mary Kate?
I don't.
64. They say 64 million.
Okay.
Right, 64 million abortions since Roe versus Wade. Okay, so that's 64 women. Let's double it. That's 128 million men and women since 1973 walking around wounded.
Wow.
So
yeah.
Let's take it back. Let's say out of that 128, let's say 28 million have gone on a healing journey. That still leaves 100 million men and women in the United States alone that are walking around messed up psychologically, right, emotionally, spiritually, right?
Yeah, yes.
So we have to get the word out that we can help them. I have another question for you before I talk about entering Canaan.
Yeah.
What do you, how many post-abortion ministries do you think exist?
I have no idea.
How about that? I love that answer.
Yeah,
I really don't know. Because here you are, a dedicated, pro-life person, but the thought of the other side, the wounded side, is not something you've researched or something maybe that you have given thought to.
Right. Yeah, that's definitely true.
Right? So there are over 120 ministries that are out there to help men and women come to healing. Not all of them are Catholic, of course, right?
Sure.
But they're
Christian
in nature because there is a spiritual sense of this. Even if you're an atheist, you still walk around saying, well, that might not have been the best choice for me. You still walk around knowing it because it's natural law. We know there's a baby in there. You know, it's not an elephant. It's not a rhinoceros. It's a baby. And so no matter how early you get the abortion or especially how late, but that fact, as a woman, you know, we're created to have this natural instinct of knowing that that was not the best choice.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Right, so I went off. I'm sorry. I forgot my point, Mary Kate.
No, it's okay. Well, and you kind of are leading into, my next question of just, Jerry, I mean, there's not really enough talk about other resources, is there, for these men and women,
right.
I've in my life, we had talked about this before, have been involved in pro-life groups and maybe praying outside an abortion clinic or doing some sidewalk counseling. And there was people where I was at that they kind of had all the background information, maybe I would pray from 6 to 8 in the morning, but there was always a handful of people with my group that knew all the resources and would kind of, if a woman wanted to talk about it or consider adoption or choose something else, they would kind of guide her towards, you know, hey, call this number or come to this, you know, group meeting or event. But, like, I guess I, you know, it's in, you know, talking to you has stirred up in my mind, like, you know, hey, I didn't take the time or realize about these groups, you know, because I think I just thought, well, you know, Jerry and you know, Tom over here, they know about the groups, so we'll just have the women go talk to them. But, like, what about all the times, like, I'll run into somebody by myself and, like, not be prepared to tell them, like, how I can help them or how someone can help them, you know?
So in your experience in praying in front of an abortion place, has your experience been that there were a group of people who were helping the women after they had it?
Yeah, so I went to Franciscan University, which probably some of our listeners may have heard of, and they're very well organized there, Jerry. They would have a group of us go in the morning to pray when the women were going in, the moms and dads.
Right.
And then there would be a group that would be there in the afternoon when women would come out. And I do believe the people that were there in the afternoon, they were the ones that were well-versed in, like, resources or post-abortive care or, you know, I guess even if the people coming out probably had other kids, you know, at home. And because, you know, like we're just, you know how, like, Jesus is just all in for us all the way, Jerry? Mm-hmm. Like, that's just the thing about the pro-life movement, right? We got to be all in for everybody involved all the way. So, like, you might have went into the clinic and had an abortion, but, like, we're going to be, like, outside that door waiting for you to just to help you.
You and to love you.
Like, help you, to love
and
you.
And to just love
because,
you. Yep.
Because you, as mm-hmm. an individual, have counted all along, and so you may have made this decision that has harmed, like, yourself, other people, your child, but, like, mm-hmm. you, the woman going in or the dad or whoever, you know, is so loved by God that, like, we need to give all our time and attention to you also as much as we can, you know.
Oh, that's so beautifully stated, and it just gave me an idea. We don't have any abortion centers in Allentown anymore, and I know they've closed, and I think the closest one is Philadelphia, but wow,
okay.
what a beautiful idea to gather a group of post-abortive friends of mine, if they're comfortable, right? And going
sure.
there and being present after the woman comes out. I love that Franciscan does that.
Yeah, and, you know, that's the beautiful thing. I was talking to a friend of mine I was talking to a friend of mine who's not Catholic or anything,
mm-hmm.
and I said, you know, I said, what I love about the Catholic Church, besides the Eucharist and just, you know, so many things to love about it, is that, like, in the Catholic Church, like, if you make a mistake, like, we're there to warn you not to, but if you do, we're standing at the bottom of the cliff to catch you.
Oh, I love that.
You know, it's not like, you shouldn't be doing this,
yeah.
you shouldn't do this,
sure.
it's not good for you, it's sinful. The person kind of runs toward, almost, in my mind, it's always the image of, like, almost running toward the edge of a cliff. But, like, you know, the way that Christ is and the way, like, our faith is with the sacrament of confession and healing ministries is that if you jump off that cliff, we're going to run down and just be there to catch you.
That is beautiful.
You know?
What a beautiful thought. I'm going to keep that in my heart, too. Thanks, Mary Kate.
I think that's such a model for helping women and men that have experienced abortion. Like, okay, you know, we're going to be there to try to maybe talk to you and say, hey, why don't you choose something else? But if you go in that clinic, we'll be there when you come out of the doors to help you too, you know, because
too.
You matter, because God loves you too.
Right.
So,
no sin is beyond God's unfathomable mercy.
Right. Absolutely.
And it is a grave sin. You know,
yeah.
there's no mistake in that. I would never try to dismiss that in any way with how I'm encouraging people to love and compassion and God's mercy.
For sure.
That is really important to be recognized when you go for healing, because there are many secular, right, out of those 120 ministries, there are many secular ministries available too for healing that talk about the emotions and talk about the psychological aspects of it, but they never encourage, right, a relationship and forgiveness with Jesus. And
sure.
that, of course, is how you receive the fullness of the healing experience, is only through Jesus Christ, only
Absolutely.
Through God and allowing him to forgive you. And then once God forgives you, right, in our Catholic faith, we have a priest, like you said, in reconciliation. then the journey begins to forgive yourself. Mm. And that can take years. That's why Entering Canaan is a different type of Catholic ministry besides Rachel's Vineyard that offers a continuing program, whereas Rachel's Vineyard is a weekend. And, you know, amazing for people. I mean, that was my experience. The Entering Canaan ministry, created by Teresa Bonapartis about 20 years ago, consists of retreat days. And then once you go on a retreat day, then you have monthly meetings. So it becomes this intimate, incredibly confidential, total anonymity support group that focuses on a topic each month of how that abortion experience affected you.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you might have a topic on grieving, and you might have experienced your abortion 29 years ago, like I did.
Right.
And the idea that you can talk about grieving and making connection that, yes, it's important to grieve the loss of your child. Yes, you've been forgiven by God, but now we need to talk about how you can experience continued healing.
Absolutely.
Right? So after those monthly, that leads up to a weekend retreat after a year or so. And that's, I think Entering Canaan is a very special type of Catholic ministry that's available to us. And both these ministries, Rachel's Vineyard and Entering Canaan, are available through the umbrella Project Rachel, which is through the USCCB.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Wonderful. And you know, Jerry, if you wouldn't mind just for a couple of minutes here sharing with us maybe some ideas or tips about how the audience could speak to someone who is a post-abortive man or woman.
Oh, thanks. You know, I pulled, before speaking to you, I went to the USCCB, the Project Rachel, and they had this amazing tab called Bridges of Mercy for Healing After Abortion. So I'm going to read a couple of, I guess you would call it a couple of scenarios. I'm going to read you a couple of scenarios and then intersperse my own ideas of how we can help bring those to healing. So all the names, of course, are made up, but the situations are not made up, but the names are made up here. So Maria, call her Maria, was going back to church after her second grader enrolled in First Communion classes. So she returned to church when her child was ready to have communion. She didn't know what to say to her daughter after being asked, why didn't she go to communion? It was during Sunday Mass. So Maria had an abortion in her teens, and she felt that she couldn't go to confession because she committed that quote-unquote unforgivable sin. How many times we have heard that, if you grew up Catholic, you know, from wherever, that the sin of abortion is an unforgivable sin. So she didn't go to communion. She didn't go to communion, and she didn't know what to tell her child. Can you imagine if love and compassion for the post-abortive woman was heard through the prayers of the faithful? You know that part during Mass where we pray for people? What if even once a month it was started to be introduced to pray for those who have experienced an abortion, that they may come to healing first through confession and then through a Catholic ministry like Entering Canaan or Rachel's Vineyard? The USCCB supports those two ministries in particular, with, you know, through the eyes and lens of the Catholic Church.
Sure, yeah.
So can you imagine if, like, that was said during a prayer of the faithful?
Yeah, that might touch someone's heart or kind of start stirring a hope in them of, like, oh, wait a second, there's a place for me here.
Yeah. That's our only job, is to set the seed and let God do the rest. Set the seed.
Right.
But how about if a priest wove through the homily, especially that homily with the women at the well, when that gospel is spoken, right? Or if he managed to weave something loving and compassionate for anybody who knows someone, or maybe a weekly blurb in a bulletin, so that every quote-unquote Maria could be assured that confession is encouraged. So absolution, the mercy of God, he forgives But that personal journey is needed to forgive yourself and everyone else involved.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So we have prayers of the faithful within our church. We have the opportunity with a homily. We have a weekly blurb. And of course, I'm sure many priests are skeptical about giving a full out homily on that because you don't know how it's going to trigger someone.
Sure.
And, right? And that could really be, it's a sensitive subject. If it wasn't so sensitive, we wouldn't be so silent.
Right, right. Yeah.
And if the average post-abortion woman gets help after 20 years, the average is 20 years of keeping your mouth shut, well, that really goes to show how sensitive and intuitive you need to be as a priest. You know, in sharing that kind of information during a homily.
Sure.
But if it was in the back of a bulletin, you know, and,
yeah.
you know, they get to see it on their own because that confidentiality and anonymity is so important because it's looked upon, you know, as such a shameful thing that is unforgivable. But
right.
if we can change that, if we can change that, you know, little by little, right within our own community, I'm convinced that that will bring about a pro-life society.
And I, you know what, Jerry, we're actually almost out of time, but if you wouldn't mind just sharing again real quick that tab, maybe people could look at that on the website.
Oh, sure, sure. Well, I would encourage anybody to go to Rachel's Vineyard and read stories. Go to YouTube, listen to stories of post-abortion men and women. That's how you will become knowledgeable on how to share this message of love, compassion, and mercy to help someone else toward a journey. And USCCB has a healing tab. And when you click on that healing tab, there is a beautiful document called Bridges of Mercy for Healing After Abortion.
Beautiful. And thank you, Jerry, thank you so much for telling us about all this, but also just for your courage of sharing with us, you know, just out of your own experience and your own story and just being vulnerable to us so that we could learn to love better. Thank you for that.
Oh, thank you so much, Mary Kate, for having me.
God bless you all.
God bless.